All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. October the 22nd, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is awesome wherever you are at. It is Sunday. I'm bored. I got nothing to do. Just been hanging out. Had a few little things to do this morning, but, you know, I have been fighting a cold since, I don't know, Tuesday maybe will be 2 weeks, for the last 2 weeks. And it's not like I got the COVID or anything. I just got a cold. But, man, it has really started to throw me off a bit. And so I haven't been doing many podcasts. I've been feeling okay, but my nose has been stuffy. Then my nose feels okay, but my lungs feel weird. And then, so it's just been kind of this ongoing project of me trying to get better. But I want to do a podcast today because I need to sort of wrap it up. The last couple of weeks have been, I have tried to do this podcast several times, gotten close, and just didn't do it because just my mind has sort of been foggy and just didn't really feel like putting anything out. So I'd like to sit down and try to get this done today so I can start next week fresh. Couple of funny things. Got an email from somebody who complained that, and, you know, we live in such a fucked up world right now. It's so weird. I mean, I guess it's fucked up because I'm involved in things like this that allow people to, you know, attack, you know, in this sort of medium and, you know, whether it's podcasting or on YouTube. I mean, you do anything today and these just people, and they're all, I think they're fake. This guy sent an email to the guy I use his studio because I have been spewing, let me see if I can read it. It's pretty funny. I don't think I did this, but who knows? It says, here we go. Where is it? Oh, here we go. It says, I know you allow me to use your store to record podcasts. This is to my, this is an email to my friend, who he does let me use his studio. The nice thing is, and I'll read this, but the nice thing is, this podcast does not make money, right? Due to the fact that I don't make money, this guy can go fuck himself, right? Because that's what everybody's little hiccup is, right? Everybody's trying to make revenue, right? I have a job. I have a different job. I make money with my job. My family survives on my job. This guy could try to come after me, but these people like getting their hair done, right? Not many things stand between a person and getting their hair done. They're like, oh, my God, they did that? That's right. Can they still cut my bangs? Right? So I have a job. I do not make money at this, and these people keep trying to attack us and attack me. This one is interesting, too, because it says, I know you allow me, Tom, to use your store to record podcast. Have you ever listened to the podcast? He is spouting some crazy RFK Jr. conspiracy stuff. Does your business promote RFK Jr.? If not, I would recommend putting some distance between you and him. These are the kind of things that we get, right? This is what this guy is saying. Listen, if you're going to associate with me and you don't promote what I'm spewing, right? He's going to come after us. He's going to attack. And he already did this. We had a couple of, I've had a couple podcasts. A local restaurant used to support one of our podcasts and got one of these emails. So this is a fake email, right? I called the number. It goes to the University of Delaware. Or no, it goes to Wilmington University. So it's going to be fake, right? The email is fake. It's just fake. It's a scare tactic. It's fear-mongering. It's self-censoring. Because, first of all, I don't think I have spewed anything about RFK Jr. The only thing I shared was, I love RFK Jr., by the way. He's fucking 40 years sober, man. I know what it takes. That's not conspiracy. That's a fact. But we went to Philly a couple Mondays ago and watched him announce his presidency as an independent. I think everybody should look into RFK Jr. If you're concerned about the future of our country, everybody should look into somebody. Because the people we have right now aren't doing it. And if you want to continue this crazy wild ride, and listen, to each his own, right? I've shared this before. I've looked at everybody. I've watched Trump. Trump seems like a great guy, right? Just Trump has some, he gets a little self-absorbed, which bothers me, right? I've looked at everybody. I have no problem. Everybody, to each his own, right? The main reason I like Kennedy, honestly, is because he's sober. Let's go, boys. Let's go. Pearl Jam, Hard to Imagine. I will be playing that whole song. I might be switching things up here a bit. I need to have a little bit more fun, right? I have this doing this podcast, and I've, you know, when I started doing it, it was just to share my story, my path, right? How am I getting through it? And I've sort of started to feel like I have to save people, and I don't. And that's my fault, not yours. It's my fault. I've sort of gotten into my head a little bit about this, and the reality is this podcast is for fun, right? Sobriety is fun. Getting sober is fun. Putting all of our hell that we went through and using these 12 steps of a program to remove all that fear, and in the end, what you end up with is a life of fun, right? Everything's fun, and that's what I have to remind myself. This is for fun, and by the way, like I said, with Kennedy, you know, when someone tells me somebody is sober, to a normal person, they're like, oh, okay, good for him. You know, he's sober. Good job. But for a person like me and a person that's been working at a program, and if you, whether you have a day, 10 days, 30 days, 100 days, 10,000 days, and you're still hanging in there and you're still staying sober and working towards your serenity, you know how much work it takes. And then you know what kind of character you have to be to have that happen. Or removing character, right? Character defects. But it's a lot of work. It's almost like, you know, it's kind of funny when you go traveling, right? Remember, you have to go through the TSA. You got to get searched. Or you can go ahead, right? And you can have them vet you, and you can get like a pre-search. And I don't have it, so I don't know what it's even called. So forgive me. I'm spewing some more bullshit, but you can go ahead and get pre-searched, right, and get a pre-screening so that you can skip all that security. Well, to me, that's what it is when you're sober. If you said, yeah, and for one, Kennedy's 40 years sober, right? So I know what it takes to figure out you got a problem, work hard at it, and then sustain it for a while, right? It takes a lot of damn work. So that's what I love about that guy, because everything else after that I know is legit. I just know it is. I don't care. People say, well, you know, they're going to dig up something. Dig it up. He would love it. And like he would also say, you research it. Don't listen to me. You research it. If you don't believe in him, if you think he is doing this and that, research it. Find it. Prove it. I love it. He would love it too. I think it's, show me somebody else doing it that way. I'd love to look at him. You know, we're going to need a president in a year. We're going to have to figure this out. And the shit show that's going on is exhausting. And so we've been under attack, right? And so I actually want to start a new podcast. And it might be just on Kennedy, right? But I will not, you know, it won't be on this channel, that's for sure. And I don't want to, you know, bring that into this, right? But what I do want to say is that I just think for a guy that's sober, it just says a lot to me. As a guy that works on sobriety every day, it says a lot to me, and that's what I love about the guy. But this guy attacking us, we don't do this for money. Ha ha. You can't hurt us, right? Because that's where they get you. It's when you're making a living doing this kind of stuff. I do this just for fun. This is a hobby. This is an outlet. This is something for me to debrief, right? I get a lot of words rolling around in my head, and sometimes it's nice to sit down and just chat about it. And then I have friends that I get feedback from. They send me music. This is a good time, man. Stop trying to bring me down, because it ain't going to work. And if I do another podcast, it'll be from a secret location. But I'm probably going to move my equipment out of here, move my studio to a new location, and I will not reveal it, because these people keep, you know, not like my buddy even cares. He sent me the thing. He says, the email, he goes, I guess this is another one of those fake emails. And I go, yep. And it's exactly what it is. It's chicken shit, right? It's chicken shit. So, saying all that, I hope I'm still sober, right? I hope I'm still in my serenity lane, right? I still feel good, but it just bugs me. It just bugs me that people even have to do that. Because I could tell you, I don't get many complaints. I don't really get many anything. I don't get many people saying, hey, man, great podcast. I don't get many people saying, hey, this podcast is a shit. I hear nothing. But I see people won't listen, so thank you. I appreciate it. But every once in a while, we'll get this attack, and this guy is trying again. Andy Sinclair is his name, if it's real. Go find him. This is what he does. And I'm sure he does it to tons of podcasts. You know, I really feel bad for these people that actually create revenue and create a living doing a podcast. You know, you create content and you put it out, and people enjoy it, that's awesome. But there's always this person out there that's going to come after you and say, oh, do you hear what they're saying about this? And it all comes down to advertisers. All comes down to advertising money. And we are so self-censored now. Nobody can say anything. And now we got all this stuff going on in the Middle East here. And now everybody's buttoning their lips because nobody wants to say the wrong thing, including myself. You know, thoughts and prayers. I hope we get it worked out. But I have no comment. It's a mess because people that actually have good ideas, and that's sort of the problem that I feel like we're headed in right now, is that all the people with great ideas are too afraid to say anything because all these different people will come after them. So we're really shooting our own self in the foot, because we're not going to have any great people trying to do stuff because of all this self-censoring we're having to do. And the other thing about Kennedy, he's against censorship, which I love. Very cool. He went to a censorship meeting and got censored. Anyway, bye-bye. I'm not going to talk about that anymore. So the other thing that that's gone on the last couple weeks is, and I don't know what I've talked about, so if I've talked about this in the last couple weeks, I apologize, but I'm sort of, you know, I talked about how I was a little tired of that Monday meeting, right? And so I needed to find a new meeting. I found a new meeting, another Monday morning, or it's a little earlier, it's not Monday morning, it's Monday, roughly same time, actually. Turns out it's a step meeting. Really, I didn't change the format of what I was looking for. I just needed some new perspective, right? Some new people listening and talking and sharing and giving feedback. I just needed to freshen that up. But I also started going to a new Saturday morning or evening meeting, which is another step meeting. So now for the last 2 weeks, I've been reading the same, and they're both on the same step, right? So last week we both read the four step, both meetings read the four step, which is huge. And now this week or last night I went to the meeting and it was on the fifth step. And, you know, one of the guys that was at the meeting last night, he shared, he goes, this is out of my realm, right? Because he's like, I think he just picked up a 6-month chip. He's just new. He recognized, he goes, I'm not here, right? I'm still working on that first step, right? I'm still admitting. I'm still, you know, coming in, right? But as a person that's been doing this for a while, I absolutely love this fifth step. The fifth step to me is the game changer. And it even says it in the first, and I've said this 100 times, so forgive me, but it says, the first paragraph, all of AA's 12 step ask us to go contrary to our natural desires. They all deflate our ego. When it comes to ego deflation, few steps are harder to take than five, but scarcely any step is more necessary to long-term sobriety and peace of mind than this one. This is the place for me, what I feel like for my journey is where we start learning about serenity, right? Because, you know, I've said before, there isn't a word in this book that got me sober, right? I got sober from a dude punching me in the face at a bar, right? That was my ego deflation. You can either do these steps and learn how to deflate your ego, or you can run your big mouth and get it deflated immediately. And that's what I chose. I chose the immediate deflation. And it's funny because when ego is deflated, when the devil is removed, when fear is removed, we become willing for the message, right? When I came into this program, I was absolutely willing because my ego had been deflated. Ego, fear, it's all, to me, sort of the same thing. It's all self-serving, right? And right before I got hit in the mouth, I was asking for self to be served. A couple after closing, right? I need two more. It was last call. I need two more. You sons of bitches. I don't remember. But I was spewing some devil talk for sure. I was absolutely possessed at that moment. That guy compared to this guy, even that guy compared to that same guy 12 hours later would be absolutely completely different people. Right? And from that point on, I was aware that I had a parasite. The devil. The devil was living large in me, and I was allowing it. And the devil's still there, right? I've talked about it. But the steps have taught me how to at least be aware of it and be aware of the fear that comes from it, because self is fear. And what I'm learning is these steps are really the 12 steps on how to remove fear out of your life. No fear, you find serenity. Fear, you're just drinking. I mean, you're just dry, right? You're just a person that's not drinking. It's managing the fear. And I feel like that this fifth step is the big one, right? Because it even says in here, we have to share everything. You know, I don't know if I shared this last week. I'm still in the fog, right? But, you know, the fourth step, people are like, oh, why do we have to do a fourth step? You know, I shared this last night. When I came into this program, I literally had no idea what kind of person I was, who I was, what I was about, right? What did I like? What did I not like? Why did I like things? Why did I not like things? Why did I hate things? I didn't understand anything. I was like dropped off on the corner and sent out into the world, right? They don't teach you that stuff. And so when you do come into a program like this, if you need this, not everybody does, right? But if you do, when I did, I came in. The fourth step was great to see the kind of human I was and why I did the things that I did. Right? I'm learning. It's like going to Tom school. Let's learn about you. And I was like, well, I don't want to learn about me. Actually, I didn't even look at it that way. I just looked at it as a task I had to do because I came in as a victim of alcohol. But when I started to learn, hey, these steps teach me about me. And if I learn about me and I learn the things that I do and why I do them, if I learn that if I don't do them in different ways of handling things, maybe the life of me can be a little more fulfilling. It doesn't have to be the life of take, take, take from everybody and anything, because that's the life that I lived. And listen, I still have that. You know, I have a parasite. The devil is a parasite, lives on my body. And I still, you know, do things. I mean, it's driving down the road. Get out of the way. You know, what am I in fear of? Not getting where I want when I want to, right? It can be that small. It's still around. But when I start to become sick, spiritually sick, right? And when I came into this program, I was spiritually sick, right? And when, you know, maybe I even said this about Kennedy. Let me spew some more shit about Kennedy. You know, when he talked about getting sober, he called it a spiritual adjustment. I had never heard that term. I'd never heard that term. And all I can do is think about it now, a spiritual adjustment. Because my spiritual adjustment was, or my problem was, is that I was spiritually in the dark, right? I was serving self. Anything that served me was good. I had no familiarity with the word humility. I didn't know what it meant to help others. You know, I remember one of the first things that somebody told me, said, do something for somebody and don't tell anybody that you did it. And I remember thinking, well, that's dumb, right? Because everything I do for somebody needs to be recognized so that people can realize how great I am. At least that's how I thought. That's tough. That's a tough existence. Because that doesn't happen that much, so what is it in turn? We just sit around feeling sort of bad about ourselves, and we live for these moments. And when we do things, you know, they're not legit, they're for serving self. People can see it, right? You know, people watch us, people know how we are. But it's really, you know, it's and then what's the fear in there, right? That they won't like me? They won't ever do anything for me? I won't get something out of this? I remember getting in arguments or having problems with people, and I used to remember, so I guess I can't use your three-wheeler, right? Or I guess I can't come over and play pool, right? You know, everybody as a kid, everybody had their thing. I had my buddy Billy, he had a pool table, right? But his mother, right? His parents were divorced, but they lived in the same development. His mom had an indoor pool. We don't want to screw up that relationship. We want to keep that because this serves self. It's just a mess as a kid. So when I came into this program and when people come in, you know, we get to sit down and we start with that first step. By many, we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe, right, that a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. The third step, made a decision to turn our will. And it's, let me read that. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And it starts to talk about that. And then the fourth step, made the searching and fearless moral inventory. Let's learn about ourselves. You know, the Mr. Jones story. I hate Mr. Jones. That's me. I hated everybody. I hate Mr. Jones. Why? I don't know. Just hate him. That's a big freaking bridge to skip, right? That's a big section. I hate Mr. Jones, yada, yada, yada. He can go fuck himself, right? No reason. Right, but when we start doing this moral inventory, we start to learn about things, and we start to learn and understand what creates the hate for me. You know, what do I hate about Mr. Jones? He had a better car, right? He has a prettier wife. He has a better job. All perfectly viable things to hate, right? For a guy like me who hadn't done shit in my life, I hated everything because everybody was doing better than me. I wish I had what that guy had. I wish I could get that. Right. And you can live like that. Right. You can and just be tortured. Right. But you start to learn. And it happens through this moral inventory. We start to learn. Well, what I really hate is that. And it starts happening with accountability. We start to realize I hate Mr. Jones because he has a prettier wife. But I also, you know, I didn't do anything in my life. Right. I didn't finish school. Right. I didn't go to college. Right. I didn't try to build a career. I just hung and fed off my parents. And so I never had a pretty wife, right? I couldn't even find a girlfriend. I couldn't find a good job. You know, I changed toner cartridges. I mean, that was the kind of job that I got. You know, I could never get a nice car. So due to my behavior early on and the things that I did, which created the path that I went on, makes me hate other people. And that's bullshit. And so I start to learn. These things are all your if I become accountable, I can realize at least why things like that haven't happened. And it also teaches me that if I do things differently in certain ways, maybe good things could happen. I don't even know if it's even right. You know, what I've also learned is what I also think is good sometimes is bad, and what I think is really bad usually is good for me. So it's all confusing, but the fourth step is nice because you start to get an idea of who the person we are. Like my buddy said, you know, in the eighth step, you know, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Right. And my buddy says, listen, you make the list of people you had harmed. That doesn't mean that you're that way now, but it just lets us see what we are capable of. And I think that's sort of the fourth step for me, at least. You know, it starts to teach me what I am and how I think and why I think that way and what I can do to think differently. What I was doing, it got me to a place that wasn't working anymore. And if I'm going to put down this alcohol, I might as well make my life better, right? And that's where this stuff, I think, starts happening, the fourth and the fifth step. And then, you know, and I shared, you know, when I did the first fifth step, I did not do a good fifth step. And it says you have to do a good fifth step or you will never find serenity. And so I didn't do a first step. I didn't do a good first step. I mean, fifth step. The second time, when I had my new sponsor, I was too embarrassed to do the fifth step again. So what did I do? I went and found my old sponsor and shared everything. The old sponsor that I was too embarrassed to do it with initially would be the guy that I would go back and do it again. Did my life change? Not really. Right? Did the sun come out? Not really. Right? But just check that off. You know, like when my buddy Matt said, listen, if you don't change your sobriety date for taking pain pills, you're never going to be sober. I'm like, well, how do you know that? I mean, can't we just not say anything about it and I'll just proceed from here? Like, I've been sober the whole time. It'll always be something you know. It's always something, you know, because this is a spiritual adjustment, right? And well, what I was also going to say is it starts talking about it in the fifth step. It starts to mention, let me see. It says, if we have come to know how wrong thinking and actions have hurt us and others, so they're talking about the third step. You know, my thinking got me screwed up, and due to my thinking, it made my life all a mess. You know, it starts talking about, I've been thinking it wrong for a long time, and I need to start thinking better. I need to think in the light. I need to start building that relationship with a higher power. I don't know. This is a great step. I just needed to sit down and try to grind through this because I have dropped the life anchor, and I've been dragging it. And I tried to do this podcast the other day and got stuck and turned it off. And so I'm just trying to get better. I want to get through this podcast and get back to, you know, having fun. Having fun. Pissing people off. So bad. Sorry, Andy Statton, that you're so upset. here we go. October 22nd, true tolerance. Finally, we begin to see that all people, including ourselves, are to some extent emotionally ill as well as frequently wrong. And then we approach true tolerance and see what real love for our fellows actually means. Yeah, 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 92. The thought occurred to me that all people are emotionally ill to some extent. How could we not be? Who amongst us is spiritually perfect? Who amongst us is physically perfect? How could any of us be emotionally perfect? Therefore, what else are we to do but bear with one another and treat each other as we would be treated in similar circumstances? That is what I love, really. That is what love really is. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I've said this before. I believe that God, love is everything, minus the fear. Right, the fear is what separates us from that. Hey, thanks for letting me share. Hopefully, I didn't upset anybody spewing my Kennedy stuff. It's so bad. I'm gonna play the rest of this song. I'm gonna play the whole song because this version of this song is amazing, and I'm just such a huge fan of Eddie Vedder and his amazing voice and amazing band. And if you're not a fan, you can turn it off. Have a great day. Later.